also I would like to tell you before starting that one of my activities is not only physics but also outreach. So in general I tend to put in my talks something which is not which is related to outreach anyway. So I so that's the overview of the talk. Firstly, a very short theory survey from the standard model to the next minimal supersymmetric model, which is in this context where we have done our studies. In particular, we will focus on lepton universality in epsilon decays and our proposal to test lepton universality to the few percent level. And we will use for interpretation of this apparent, if any, lepton universality breakdown the missing formalism. We have a close look at the parameters space and finally the conclusion. So the theories are these, from the standard model to the next minimal supersymmetric model. Let me just recall the Occam's, William of Occam, the famous Middle Ages philosopher, and the Occam's razor, which has been so useful for science. The simplest explanation is the best explanation to any problem. This is why, in general, we prefer minimal theories. But at the same time, as Einstein said, things should be as simple as possible, but not simple. So perhaps one should move on to interpret nature. So let me start with very, very simple ideas. The Higgs sector in the standard model, as you know, this is where we have one doublet of two complex fields. In total, we have four real fields, four degrees of freedom, so to speak. And by means of the cornerstone of the standard model, this spontaneous symmetry breaking and the Higgs mechanism, these four make out of four degrees of freedom, three are used to make massive these W and G zero mediators, and while the photon remains massless, and this degrees of freedom is used for the physical Higgs. And also it is important to see here that the coupling of these Higgs, this is a mistake, sorry, I forgot to correct it. This is an H, obviously. This is the standard model Higgs. The coupling to fermions is proportional to the mass. So we will compare this with the following extension, the two Higgs doublet model. Basically, one extends the Higgs sector. Instead of having one doublet, we have two doublets. This means that we have a degrees of freedom, 8 degrees of freedom, minus 3, we are left with 5, which give rise to the neutral boson A0 and to CP, also neutral but CP even Higgses, and finally to charges boson. But also, the coupling of fermions are modified in this model. Therefore, we have in this the coupling to down type fermions, both quarks and leptons. We have this tangent beta, as everybody knows, is this ratio between the vacuum expectation values of the up versus down fixes. And instead, in the case of the charm, I focus on this in particular, of in general up type fermions, then you have this new factor for tangent beta. As presumably tangent beta is larger than 1, this means that there is an enhancement for the coupling to the A0 to the fermions, the down type while there is a suppression for this one. And in anticipation of this main idea of this talk, let me point out that indeed the large value in tangent beta would imply that A0 would couple to bottom quark with an enhanced strength, but the opposite for the charm. Therefore, we will focus rather on bottom-orient decays. As an example to be compared with later, let me point out from the PDG, the branching fraction for the psi prime into electrons, into muons, and into taus, and there is this net effective phase space, which is smaller than in these other cases. But you have an experimental measurement, which doesn't appear any effect related to the ethics sector. This is what is expected from the standard model and works nicely. But now let's come to the next dominant supersymmetric standard model, for reasons that I think that we have here in the audience a world expert and has made the introductions. I will not emphasize the need of passing from the minima to the next to minima. I will say something, but very briefly. The point is that I will need in the talk is that we have a new field, superfield, added to the Higgs content of the theory. This new field is a singlet under Gates transformations, therefore there is no coupling to the Gates bosons, and therefore the main idea is that maybe with this new component the constraints will be evaded. Now we have a total of 7 physical Higgs bosons. We have 2 neutral CPOD, which are named as A1, A2. It is in order of mass, smaller to higher, 3 neutral CP and 2 charged Higgs bosons. Now there are 6 parameters versus 3 in the next, in the minima, which are kappa, lambda, A kappa, in under mu effective at tangent beta. We will, more or less in the next slides, we will see what's their meaning. But let me also point out that the nicest idea of this model is that now this lightest pseudoscalar Higgs can be written as a combination of a non-singular component, therefore it would be reminds the minimal supersymmetric model in the absence of this component plus a singular component. One expects that this is dominant, I mean cosinus theta would be small. Let me say that cosinus theta depends on these parameters, you know, depends on that. Maybe the main idea of this model is that maybe this is a delicate balance. Therefore, one can evade the, for instance, left limits if this term is large enough. But if it is not completely negligible, this one, we have still some interplay there. This delicate balance, but life is also a delicate balance. So we have to accept this possibility. There is also certain, it is important to XD, which we define as cosinus theta times tangent beta. This parameter will play an important role in our development. There is the light dark matter question. There is this model provides a candidate as for dark light matter, but I will not insist too much in this one. Simply, I refer to these papers. In some sense, the neutrino relic abundance, I think that I will simply say very briefly that it is the lightest neutrino. I could add here one, because there are more than one, in the lightest again, and there could be this this annihilation through a mediator. This mediator could be a pseudoscalar, the E0, one, in the next minima, which would provide an efficient annihilation channel if these masses are not too different from that. This is a kind of resonance effect. And well, there are recent limits from Theodor Bell on quarkonium decay into invisible decay. However, one should emphasize that these limits don't apply actually to a pseudoscalar mediator. So, should be careful about these limits. So, let me come to light neutral Higgs scenarios. If the Susi scale is of the order of several hundred GeV up to 1 TeV, sets the expected Higgs mass. Why one could talk about the light Higgs? Is this natural or not? That's the question. Well, we have seen in the case of the standard model when an example was where a gauge symmetry, in this case spontaneously broken, explains the mass difference between the photon and the other parameters, Gates bosons. So one might wonder if there is also kind of protective symmetry which will yield light tips. And again, let me just consider in real life that we have examples where a light and a heavy sector can live together. And I have to say that unfortunately, Oliver Hardy died because of a diet, because, well, he wanted to become slimmer. So, what kind of synergies we have? Well, the Pecce Queen and R synergies. Basically, for instance, if this parameter kappa is zero, therefore this term is absent, there is not explicitly broken symmetry of the Pecce Queen symmetry. And therefore, this, the theory would have a Goldstone boson, would be massless, of course, but would mix with the pion to give rise to an axion with a small mass, which has been ruled out experimentally. Therefore, spontaneous breaking, symmetry breaking is not enough, or is not compatible with the experiment. We need and to be explicitly broken, but maybe not too much. This means that this kappa would be small. Therefore, one can get the light CP of a scalar. Otherwise, there is also the possibility of having a lambda, a kappa, trilinear couplings, which are also zero. Then one gets this R symmetry. But again, this R symmetry can be slightly broken, and one gets finally a light pseudoscalar 2. But let me be avocado del diablo, where is advocate? So this is the big question. Why, if there exists such a light Higgs boson, it has not been observed yet? Obviously, this is present experimental bounds for a light 10 GeV, about 10 GeV. Thus, non-standard Higgs boson comes from lead, the physics, also cosmology, although it is not so strong bound. Mainly lead and physics. Also, let me tell you that there is when one talks about a Higgs boson, then there is a quite common prejudice that such light Higgs have been already ruled out by lead. For instance, sometimes when I meet a colleague that I have never met before, and he asks me, what are you working on? What topic are you working on? I say, on a very light Higgs. How much light, he says. I say, 10 GeV. Generally, she or he says, oh, what a lovely day. So, there is a kind of a skepticism which may be healthy, but one should consider in science every possibility, especially has not really ruled out. And all data should be interpreted. Data are not there by themselves, should be interpreted. And they are could be ruled out in a certain theories, but not in others. It is true that it has been ruled out in the CP conserving minimal supersymmetric model. But even in this case, in the minimal supersymmetric model, if you consider that you can have CP violation in the Higgs sector, therefore, and you can get new physical particles which have mixed parities, and then the typical notation is H1, H2, H3 in order of mass. This would be the lightest one, therefore this which is of matter on we are talking about today. Then a relatively high H1 boson could have evaded detection at LEP, and these are official results from LEP. I mean, and you can see here depends on the mass, it's very sensitive to the top mass. So imagine that the top mass is I think now is 173. It is in between these two values. This was 175 at the time. So you can see here that there are windows which are not excluded. Windows for masses around 10 GeV and tangent beta which are large, quite large. So I would like to convince you that these more than windows are gates to a new physics, maybe. So, and what about the next minimal supersymmetric model? Even better, because it is less constrained. Of course, we have more parameters, that's obvious. But mainly, let's just size of this is because we have this singular component which can vary the fraction of the minimal supersymmetric light in our A1. Therefore, I can tell you that Higgs masses values are allowed down to several GeV. There are, well, again, well-known experts in the audience, and also let me cite you this respecting the lead limits, and also these works on B-physics. This is not the only way to get light single scalars. There are other models in the market which can also explain, or I mean, pass all the constraints and yield Higgs light particles. But I will not consider this. You have here a reference. Some references there in this. So, just two words to say how to evade lead limits from this final state, ZH0, where the A0 primarily decays into Bs. So, what it is clear is that in this case the standard model Higgs is excluded with for mass less than 114 GeV. However, imagine that this A1, we take it seriously, and therefore it decays with a considerable branching fraction, for instance, of the other 90%. And imagine that we are below the BB bar threshold, therefore the tau channel would be dominant. And we will have a combination of these, but these four taus in the final state would be very probable, decreasing the probability of having four Bs. Therefore, this means that it can be allowed a mass lower than that, provided that the other conditions are fulfilled. And by the way, again, emphasized by Bernstein and Union, this could explain even the Higgs like event excess found at about 100 GeV. So, not only it can evade the limits, but can explain this. I remember that I was at CERN when this was discussed. It was a difficult decision to go further taking data or shut down lead definitely to start LAC. They ran for, several weeks more, but finally the director general decided to close the LF to start the LAC. But now LAC is coming, so. But as I will tell you, LAC will not be really the best place to look for such light things. Our proposal, because this is a proposal, not only mine. Jack has made the same proposal, maybe in other terms or similar terms, but in my case, is this the test of lepton universality? Why? Because experimentalists understand very well that lepton universality is something very deep. And it is that all gauge bosons cover to all lepton species with equal strength, and can be measured experimentally. And it is a good test of the standard. And also is useful the measurement of the branching fraction into electrons mu and tau for calibration, for instance. So has an application and a byproduct. Of course, not so interesting as this one, but the test of lepton universality is indeed a proposal that we have made to experimentalize. Let me also tell you that this the width, the leptonic width, as it is presented in the PDG tables, there is even a page where this is explained, is actually an inclusive quantity. That this means that when you see upsilon into lepton plus lepton minus, actually it means plus a number of soft photons of arbitrary energy photon. Because if not, in the table, the PDG, you should have a cutoff for the photon energy, which doesn't appear, because it is an inclusive quantity. The Monte Carlo, reconstruction Monte Carlo, takes into account this cutoff, and finally provides this width, which is this inclusive quantity. The test of lepton universality can be seen, therefore, as complementary to searches for a monochromatic photon, because in this I would say that this is an exclusive search and this is an inclusive search. How much important is this correction of the emission of photon here? or well, all QED corrections should be contained here. Well, this is after order alpha 3, alpha electromagnetic, and we have the vacuum vacuum polarization, taking into account all possibilities. This amounts to 7.6%. Sorry, but this is common to all lepton species. And you have finally this correction of the vertex, which is quite small, because of the it is divergent and singularity free due to these theorems. But a warning: when I give this talk to experimentalists, I try to express this. There could be a bias once you are experimentally putting cuts to select events. If you have here electrons, muons short out, because the lighter the electron, the higher the correction. So in your Monte Carlo should be taken into account. For instance, I have been working with Jacques DeVos from Clio Collaboration on this topic specifically, with using Clio data, we realized that by switching on finite radiation, the reconstruction efficiency, which gives you the total number of reconstructed events, the real events at the end, it is in the denominator, of course, this efficiency, can vary by a factor of 4% for the muon, but much less for the tau. Therefore, I'm afraid that this could bias the research. So, honestly, I have to tell this. You should be very careful with the finite radiation and to use the state-of-the-art code for to do that. And the experimenters should be very careful. So, testing lepton universality, what we have is this. R is this, well, basically is the fraction of this channel versus which we expectedly happens through the A0, this A0 component, new physics component, divided by electromagnetic one. Therefore, lepton universality would imply that this is these are the same, which we only appear in the tau, as we explain later, and you can imagine. Therefore, this should be zero. It is not zero, but if you look individually, of course, they are compatible with zero. But if not, if we were larger than that, probably people would be more excited. This is a plot of what I have seen corresponding to the previous paper. So there is a trend. I can't say anything else. But actually, one has to divide by this factor, because this is the Van Rooyen-Weisskopf formula, where you have the phase space factor. But this is decreasing. You have an ellipticity flip. This is increasing with the mass of the tau, of the electron. But you have phase space which overtakes, and finally it's a smoothly decreasing function. But we have to be precise, one should divide by this factor to cancel out any dependence, kinematic dependence of the mass of the final state lepton. If we do that, it's a small effect. It goes in the direction favoring the hypothesis of breakdown, but it is small. Moves by about 1%. So, what's our conjecture to interpret this apparent lepton universality breakdown? We have a photon, so we distinguish here two channels, basically. Direct one, and through a resonance, eta B resonance. Then you have an M1 transition. This state is ready to couple to a pseudoscalar, or to a scalar. In this case, to a pseudoscalar. Eta B is the pseudoscalar. And there are two key ideas. This new physics contribution will be unwittingly, because nobody is waiting for such things, ascribed to the electronic branching fraction, since this is an inclusive process and photons are not looked at. Of course, one could, but this is not in the very definition of the inclusive. But this only works for the tauonic decay mode because of the mass of the tau. I told you that is proportional to the mass. And the second is what I was saying. This proportionality to the mass, which induces a dependence on the lepton species. Well, there is a proposal that I made last year at KK, and this has been published. And basically, we have estimated the systematic error to be of this order. This is because to use here a model for the decay, for instance. This applies to this part. This is statistical and systematic error. This means that we can see something which is above 5%, more or less. Well, relative decays, mixing formalism, just point out the main points. Again, you can see here the two channels, direct Wilczek 1 and through the Italy. Now, I have used this mixing formalism. You have the mass matrix. These non-diagonal terms are proportional to XD and other parameters, of course, because they are governed, these terms, by this diagram. Therefore, basically, I would like just to point out that since the Italy actually decays into taus or into electrons in general, at it is very much suppressed in the standard model, because it could be through a Z0, then the mass of the Z0 in the propagator actually kills this, and also you can have one loop with two photons, which is should be very very small. Therefore, we can consider that it is zero. Therefore, why the ETA decays into the A0? Because it mixes with the A0. Its mixing makes the ETA to decay. So this is the formalism. So we have not to make double counting. The ETA decays because of the mixing. And this is a powerful formalism. Let me also tell you again that the smaller coupling strength, as I said, but if this cosinus theta is not too small, again, XD could be larger than 1, you can have enhancement. So, the application of this formalism can be seen here. Well, this is the quantity that we want to check, and this is the experiment, this is the theoretical expression for the non-resonant decay. We do recognize immediately the Wilczek formula times the mixing effect. And in the mixing effect, you see a cosinus alpha squared. Of course, if imagine that alpha is very small, there is almost no mixing, then cosinus alpha is almost 1, and this factor would be, there's no mixing, I mean. That, of course, because the A0 decays, because it is A0. Instead, in Italy, you have this sinus alpha. If alpha is small, sinus alpha is small, practically doesn't decay because, of course, there is no mixing. The Italy cannot decay by itself. And this will shape this cosinus and sinus square, will shape the curves that I will present next. And also, there are other parameters used in this calculation, appear in these expressions, because you have to use first. It is in this case, in the resonant decay, a two-step process. First, you have the M1 transition. You have a transition probability, and this formula is very approximate. There are many formulas in the market, very different, differing in one or two order of magnitude. So it's quite uncertain, because this factor I is the overlap between the wave function of the final and initial state. Bottom-running state. And you have this and this mixing effect. I have checked that in this expression, in the limit of small mixing, one recovers as it should be the same expression. I mean, you have the perturbative calculation with your propagator, and you have the mixing. And for a small angle, mixing angle, both should coincide as they do. So this is a check. And then comes this expected lepton universality breaking, which is important because tells you the order of magnitude and the behavior. You can see the green line corresponds to a Wilczek mechanism, which would be a straight line. Would be a straight line. Of course, there are many, many corrections. Jack always says that in his presentations. You can have binding effect correction, QCD effect correction, maybe there is a double counting there, relativistic corrections. But in general, there a lot of work was done in this regard in the 80s, because in the 80s, Crystal Ball had a candidate to 8.3 GeV for the J1S decay. And a lot of people started to work very hard, and all coincide that the corrections for the scalar, if the scalar in the gamma scalar, are very important and decrease, whereas in the case of the scalar, there is a relatively small increase. In this case, I have considered no corrections, okay, as a reference. But of course, can move by a 50%. But this is actually not, well, it is important, but it is not dramatic. Therefore, you can see here, or in the data here, this is the typical dependence on the cosinus. Because here, the mixing is maximum. Cosinus is minimum. In this case, it's the opposite. It is the sinus which is increasing. This is as a function of MA0. And therefore, you have the resonant production, and you have the whistle and the sum. Sometimes they can sum above the expectation, like the expectation. Sometimes also you get a peak, but sometimes you get a dip. This is for values of xj equal 10 and xj equal 5 and v, but nobody knows. Could be 10, could be 50. And also you can see that the effect does not extend too much, what is expected from superconductivity calculation. And the order of magnitude of the few percent, for xj equal 10. I think that this is understood, in my opinion. I think this is a nice formalism that I have applied, taken from other authors, to this case, with a specific aim.
The bottom line here is that you're saying that for the 2s and 3s, the non-resonant decay, by which you mean the explicit photon emission calculation, I got lost in which is which.
This is the Wilczek non-resonant.
Yeah, so
and
right.
This is resonant.
So the non-resonant Wilczek is the dominant thing for the 2s and 3s, for
exactly.
Sure. Then, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is the opposite in this case in
yeah.
The region here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, I would say, I would propose to look on this effect in the option 3s. There are also spectroscopic consequences. The possibility that in a shift it would be extremely shocking, because the standard model has a very definite prediction for the hyperfine splitting. By the way, the candidate which is nowadays in the tables in the PDG is 9.3 GeV, which is 160 MeV, far from the Upsilon 1S, too much larger. But, of course, this is only candidate, nobody believes that could be. So one can think that searches for theta V for over more than 30 years and no signal found reminds me of this story by Arthur Conan Doyle about this curious incident of the dog. The curious incident was that the dog did nothing in the night time. So the fact that the theta V is not discovered is what is, of course, this is an argument which has been to take with a grain of salt. But if it is not found, it is curious. So this is why I am making this joke with Mr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One can think that the theta V is the Petit Bourgeois decaying softly into light hadrons to true gluons, a very boring particle, not for those who are working in QCD, of course. And the A0 is not terrible, but maybe changed, and perhaps the theta V is not terrible, and this is why it is not found. So, let me come now to a closer look to the region of the parameter space which could allow. So, this is, actually my also my the second part of my work. So again, I am fixing these parameters. Okay. Which everything is reasonable. And let me look at this formula. I know they are approximate, but just to have an idea. Then the plots have been done using exact expressions. So what happens if I multiply cosinus theta times tangent beta? And this term is smaller with respect to this one. A large tangent beta, this is 2 divided by tangent beta. So if you multiply by tangent beta, tangent beta cancel out. This can be seen or also in this way. If you multiply this by tangent beta, and this is negligible with respect to this, tangent beta disappears. You can increase tangent beta, but the product doesn't increase. It's asymptotically turned into a fixed value. But what happens if this is small? If this is small, then you have this cancellation. If there is a cancellation of this also cancel, then when you multiply it by tangent beta, this will increase. Maybe not linearly, but you will get a net increase. And look, this is in the region where A lambda plus kappa S, and S is mu divided by lambda. S is expected, the vacuum expectation value of the singlet, which is mu divided by lambda by definition. And therefore, we are left to a straight line. Straight line which is here represented with this as this dotted line, dotted golden line. And then I represent here cosinus, and I see indeed that this mountain is what it should be. You can think that I just have made a test of my code that works adequately. Okay. Yes, but at least I realize that something qualitatively is important to understand things and so on. Because at the same time I look at this expression, and at this expression I realize that you can get a small mass two ways, because always this is small. Okay, this is small. You can imagine that this is so small that you neglect it, and you are left only with this piece. This is practically one, and this is the expression which usually appears in our papers and textbooks. If you have Peche-Quinn symmetry, this would be small, slightly broken, of course. But there is another possibility. The other possibility that I read in a paper by Jack and Radovan, it is that there is this cancellation. And this happens, especially at tangent beta large, because then you have an enhancement of this term, if this lambda is moderately large and a kappa is small, because this is smaller than this, and you can get a balance. Is this fine tuning? Well, I don't know, but it is a coincidence, because it is precisely there where it happens again, where this mountain lies. The cosinus takes large values, it is of course can be understood, because when this is large, then you can, it's relatively large. When you get this partial cancellation, let me show you in the next one. I have more. These are mathematical expressions without any constraints, by them nor physics. So, you get this blue line dashed line correspond to xg equal 10. You have ma19gv, the red one, which is so close. You have the second CP of the scalar, which is nearby, and even this mass without any correction is in the same region. So if you now include with values which are 10% approximately the same, because it's a different scale, but this is just preliminary. It's the first time except yesterday that I presented this at Slack, the first time that I present this. I have to be very preliminary. Should have put here preliminary, but I think it works properly. So you see that now all LEP and physics are imposed, and you get that there is a non-negligible region where you can have small mass, xd relatively large, and the mass below dB bar. So, summarizing, I have only two or three slides more. More slides. So, what I would like to stress is that in several regions of this next to minimal parameter space, mainly a moderate lambda I lambda, kappa I kappa, it may happen at the same time. Large tangent beta, because this region is where one expects that tangent beta is large. Cosinus theta is not small. This means that it's singlet, but not completely. It's not neglected the minimal supersymmetric model component or non-singlet component. You have XD, therefore, which is relatively large. Enough. Remember that I put 10 for my figures. Low mass for the lightest CPO Higgs also. A mass which is, well, not too large. This would, it would be a dream scenario for LHC, because all these particles would be more or less degenerate, which could be observed. And according to Jack's detailed studies, if I understood correctly, this is also these values that we are using are basically corresponding to a low fine tuning in order to get this standard model Higgs of a mass which can explain this event excess. So I think this is why I fine tuning or suggested coincidences. Therefore, there should be one. I like very much movies, and there is a movie by Clint Eastwood. Maybe I have changed slightly the this phrase, I don't know if you remember. There should be one partial resource for not running a B factor in CMS, but right now I cannot think of one. So, conclusions. What if there exists a light Higgs light particles about 10 dB, a high luminosity B factor, it would be ideal place to discover and study it, looking at, for instance, vector universality. I would say that is the first thing. The first hint, because it's something that experimentalists like to do, because this is what they have done. This is not necessarily new physics. It is interesting by itself to measure leptonic branching fractions and to compare. If there is something, then of course the smoking gun could be the observation of such monochromatic photons using probably the constraint of the Taos, as these authors have suggested. And also Mangano and Asson, Paolo and Asson, recently. However, in this case, they have a mass of the Higgs of the order of 200 MeV. And it seems that it is too low, because radiative corrections should be a kind of cancellation, really fine-tuning to get the final mass, even starting by a very low mass. So, maybe. Nobody knows, but that should be looked, and we will look at it. But, okay, this is another possibility, which is also... And or there are also closely related topics, the Bissabes decay, of course, but the muon G minus 2, the G minus 2 anomaly could be, well, if you add a pseudoscalar of a mass of 10 GeV, it seems that goes in the good direction, increases the standard model prediction. Maybe no, it probably cannot reach the experimental value as far as using tau electrons very yes, and light dark matter, and of course the seek of a light Higgs is complementary prior both things to other searches to be performed at LHC and ILC, because if this found, well, it will be an extraordinary constraint to models. If not, at least we know that this window was not a gate, but a closed door. Well, thank you very much.
So, are there questions?
So, do you know which is more sensitive, the lepton universality or the monochromatic photon?
Should be the same sensitivity.
Well,
I would say that the lepton is more sensitive. I mean, is because in the case of the photons, you can have a background, photon background, And therefore, it could be especially for for low energy photons hard to be seen. Instead, in lepton universality, it is an inclusive quantity, you don't bother about that. So I would say that the correct order is to check first lepton universality, and if there is something, to look for the other thing. But of course, this is my opinion, only the experimentalist should decide that. Could be done in parallel also. But it's exactly the same process. But in one case, the photon is ignored, and the other case, the photon should be detected.
So, down to what percentage accuracy have the Babar people said they could, for example, test the lepton universality? If I go back to your errors, the errors were right now of order, can't quite remember. What were the errors?
The errors, I mean, well, this is the defect.
Right, yeah, so it's like
5%.
Right. So
because nobody, probably there are corrections that we make, this is not, and this is for XD equal 10. Of course,
right,
the dependence is with the fourth power, so it's quite sensitive.
Right. So if you, but just in terms of experimentally, if you, current errors or what?
Exactly.
I forgot.
The error would be here.
Okay, and how much do they think they can improve that if they really do a dedicated run? Are they giving
you a quote? With a dedicated run could be to less than, I mean, maybe 1%.
1%?
Yes.
Okay, that's
with the dedicated run, I'm using on 3S.
Mm-hmm.
If you are talking about what they are doing using ISR, because they have a lot of data of 4S, they can use ISR to go to 3S,
yeah,
and then to use the pion transition,
mm-hmm,
you have everything tagged. And therefore, but I don't know, but I would say that it is of the order of few percent, but not 1%. For the dedicated run, I would guess that it is 1%. No less than that.
Yeah.
No less than that. Maybe in a super few factory, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But with the unprecedented precision, that could be checked a lot, but no.
I couldn't quite tell how the systematic error gets folded into that. But the systematic error was sort of 3%-ish or something that you quoted, or was that it?
This was for the pion using the in the Monte Carlo.
Yeah,
you need
the
a model,
pion transition.
And the main systematic contribution comes from the because I studied that the program, which is using a model.
Yeah, but that's the same systematic error for all lepton types. So if you take a ratio,
but no cancel exactly.
It doesn't
cancel.
That's
no,
my
not
question.
Exactly.
Yes,
we use this. This is why it's 3.7, which means that has about 2% due to this still, and other factors.
I see.
But
so
that don't
so that
cancel.
That doesn't limit.
No, I have been very conservative also.
So, but the net influence of that systematic error would still not influence this ratio at the 1% level. So suppose you didn't understand that systematic error.
I understand your question. I suppose that's a very good question. That the model should be improved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that the model to interpret this dipion transition should be improved to the 1%, 2% in the ratio, 1%.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, this is a limit. But I guess that if they collect more data, they can understand better the model,
mm-hmm,
which are several in the market. I think one is by Goloshin. But it is true. This is something which is there and should be improved, no matter if you are a dedicated run.
Yeah.
Although you are directly on. Ah, no. For the Upsilon 3S, you are already on the Upsilon 3S.
Yeah.
You don't need this. So you remove completely this source of.
So if you only use the Upsilon 3S, then you just look at your final curve.
Yes. This is why.
Right.
This is.
So you don't need the dipion transition.
But you can go to the dipion in this. You can do that, of course. You should do that. But this is my recommendation, is to run on you, and to look at the
Exercises. I lost track of that.
Yeah, but it is true. In this case, you have no necessity of this dipion transition, of course, and then there is no systematic error from the model you are implementing.
Yes, okay, that's obviously preferred, Any other questions? Well,
I remember, excuse me, just myself, I make a remark, final remark. I when I was at KK, was also Sonny attending the talk. And he gave a very good talk. And he said the frontier of the 10% level as a frontier of precision, where behind it put new physics standby. Because there are so many observables which are not known better than the 10%. So it is good to go further. Maybe in physics it's just around the corner of the 10% accuracy.
Yeah.
So this is to go to the 1% accuracy.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe there's something there waiting for us.
Okay, well, let's thank again. A lot of our people have babies at home and had to leave promptly.
I have babies, but this is going too far. There are not babies. No, I have kids already.
Both Marcus and John have,
sure.
1 year olds or less.